Calling all detectives. When an embezzler stole a large sum of money, the greatest part of it vanished, even though none of it was spent. That is the situation on this page from my casebook, the casebook of Jerry Browning, private detective. If there's one thing I, Jerry Browning, have learned in 10 years as a private detective, it's that people are unpredictable. Up ahead of me, George Rennie was walking just as fast as he could without actually running. There was a remote chance that he didn't know I was following him, in which case he might lead me to the place where he'd hidden the $30,000 he'd embezzled from the mercantile loan company. But as Rennie got to the corner, he broke into a run, darted down an alley with me pounding along behind him. At the far end of the alley was a high brick wall, dead end.
Okay, cop, you got me cornered. Now come and take me.
Sure, Rennie, I'll come and take you, and it'll be a pleasure. I tore into him and almost got knocked cold with an uppercut. After that, I fought him more carefully, watched for an opening, finally suckered him into throwing another right, stepped inside of it, and... That was all for Mr. Rennie. When he came to, I had the cuffs on him.
All right, you took me. But if I ever get out, you and I'll do this again. And the next time, I'll murder you.
When I got Rennie to headquarters, I learned that the police, acting on a tip, had found his hideout. But of the $30,000 Rennie had stolen, only $4,000 was recovered. The next day, Mr. Maynard, treasurer of the Mercantile Loan Company, paid me for the work I'd done. Capturing Rennie was an expert job of detection, Mr. Browning, and it's not your fault that we couldn't salvage more of the money he stole. If ever you need a recommendation, don't hesitate to use my name. Recommendations are very valuable in my business. And I felt fine for almost 24 hours when I learned that George Rennie had escaped and I was expected to capture him all over again. I captured an embezzler, earned myself a vote of thanks, and then learned that the prisoner had escaped. Dawson stopped the police car in front of my house.
Jerry, I'd feel better if you'd let a couple of my men stay at your place tonight, just in case.
I shook my head. Oh, thanks, Dawson, but I'd rather not. Once I start worrying about guys like Rennie, I'm all through in this business. If it's all the same to you, I'll take my own chances. Dawson hesitated, then...
Okay, Jerry. Good night.
I walked up the two flights to my apartment, unlocked the door...
Don't turn around, Browning. Don't make a sound. I've been waiting for you. Close the door.
I did as instructed, walked slowly into the dark living room. Go ahead and shoot. Get it over with.
No, you didn't shoot me when you had the chance. Stand still. I'll turn on the lights. Okay, turn around.
I turned slowly, faced Rennie. He had no weapon of any kind.
I could have slugged you, Browning, but I didn't. Because I thought maybe you'd listen to me.
I'll listen. Pull up a chair. Sit down.
Yeah, thanks.
Rennie slumped down into the chair. I took my coat off, sat down too. Now, what's all this about? Rennie took a deep breath.
It ain't easy to explain. You see, I'm an ex-con. Did 2 to 5 and a higher. Embezzlement. Same thing they want me for this time.
Are you trying to tell me you didn't steal that money from Mercantile Loan?
No, I took it all right. But listen, why did they hire a guy like me as assistant cashier? And why did they leave money around where I could get my hands on it after they did hire me? And after I took it and hid it and they found it, what happened to 26,000 of it? I didn't get a chance to spend a dime, so where did all that money disappear? That's what I wanted to talk to you about.
It was the craziest story I'd ever heard. I questioned Rennie for an hour, and at the end of it, Rennie, you stay here. It's the only safe place in town for you tonight. Don't leave until I get back. It was pretty late, and it took quite a while for Mr. Maynard, treasurer of the Mercantile Loan Company, to answer the doorbell. But when he did answer, he only cracked the door an inch. It's okay, Mr. Maynard. It's me, Jerry Browning. We were inside before Maynard realized he was still holding a revolver in his hand.
I'm sorry, Browning.
He slipped the gun into his dressing gown pocket.
With Rennie at large again, I've taken certain precautions. I needn't add how glad I am to see you.
I sat down, lit a cigarette. Are you worried, Mr. Maynard? Rennie shouldn't have anything against you. After all, you hired him, gave an ex-convict a chance to go straight if he could. Maynard slipped his hand into his dressing gown pocket.
How did you know Rennie was an ex-convict, Mr. Browning?
Just routine. They fingerprinted him today. Checked the prints with Washington files, discovered the record of an Ohio conviction. Maynard took his hand out of his pocket.
You don't say. Yes, I did hire him, but I had no idea of his previous record, none whatever. I met Rennie at some gathering or other. He seemed like a decent sort. And I'm afraid I was negligent about checking into his background. You may be sure I'll never make that mistake again.
I leaned back, blew smoke up at the ceiling. I'll bet you won't. You're much too smart to pull something like this twice. By the way, how did you know where Rennie intended to hide his loot? Did you follow him every night after he left work? Maynard didn't say anything. Just put his hand into his pocket again, pulled out the gun, and fired at me point blank. Except that I was waiting for it and died at him the instant that gun came into view. It was very easy to take it from him because people like that are all through the first time they miss. All right, Mr. Maynard. I arrest you for assault with intent to kill, not to mention compounding a felony. Let's go. It was almost morning before I went back to my apartment for Rennie, found him still there. Maynard has confessed, Rennie. We've got the $26,000 and the complete story. He used you as a cast paw, hired you in the hope that you'd steal the money so that he could steal it from you and from his company. But you understand, that doesn't make you any less guilty.
Yeah, I understand. It's okay.
It was a strange case. And it wound up with two men going to jail. Rennie with a 2-year term, Maynard for from 5 to 10. I didn't press the intent to kill charge. I figured I'd provoke that just as much as Rennie had been provoked into stealing again. Like I said, people are unpredictable. And just because they slug you or pat your shoulder once doesn't mean they'll do the same thing the next time. Listen next time to Calling All Detectives. Mystery drama, mystery quiz, and a chance for you to match wits with yours truly, Jerry Browning, private detective.